950 from 602.
Yes, sir, go ahead.
Sorry, Dale, I was waiting for the CW on this side to quit. I hope John might be out there listening so he can join in on this conversation, too. I just did an experiment, both with my 50-watt mobile radio, that's my base station, with an antenna about 30 feet above where I'm standing. So that's going to be very similar in conditions to what your repeater's putting out. And then I did the same experiment with handhelds. And all the radios are fine transmitting from channel 17 and trying to listen on channel 3. There's no interference. The radios on channel 3 did not receive anything that was transmitted on channel 17, except the Bofeng radio. The Bofeng lit up with all kinds of nasty interference. So it just cannot discriminate, and that's probably the problem most people over there are experiencing. They've bought, they've purchased entry-level radios, which is not a problem. That's what we all do. But that's where the actual problem lies. It's the radio itself. It's not the frequencies being too close. They are close, but a good quality radio can deal with that.
Yeah, Roger. Yeah, my one of my radios here, it does very well with that because it's, you know, heterodyne type receiver instead of because my two Bofengs, the same problem. Jason channel, it just does not. My mobile, which is a Yaesu FD8900, which is the quad band, but it's whatever, 20 years old. So it's, and it has no problem. It's just, we have workarounds, and we'll see how that, we implement that. I've already talked to Forrest, so we'll see how this goes. We'll get it worked out. They, absolutely, you are correct.
Break. There was a break in there. I think it might have been John. Go ahead, break.
Yeah, it is me, Jeff. I'm running the Ocean 1000G Plus, and I'm running my antenna at about 30 feet. And it isn't just me. I mean, we've got everybody here in Klamath Falls is getting the same bleed over from 17 for some reason. I'm not sure why. I mean, I used to be in the radios in the military, and I used to be the go-to guy, but it's been years. But I'm just saying that, I'm running a brand new radio, and I'm running, I don't know, my antenna is not a slacker, and I don't understand what's going on, but it's everybody in Klamath is getting the same thing as far as that bleed over.
Okay, John, there's two reasons it's happening. One of two reasons. As you know, we all discussed earlier, and Steve pointed out, the frequencies are very, very close. And herein lies the problem. Either you're dealing with a radio that has probably what's called a direct conversion receiver, and they just aren't the greatest. They do a decent job, but when things are really tight like that, they just get overrun, and the receiver can't discriminate that frequency difference that close. The higher-end radios are what they call a heterodyne receiver, and they do a much better job of separating the frequencies. And that's the difference between when you buy a good quality radio or a Chinese radio where they're trying to keep the cost down. And it's definitely, like, I own several Bofengs. I absolutely am not shaming anybody or trying to be a radio snob, but that's what makes a Bofeng. Sorry about that, I keep timing out. That's what makes a radio cheap. When you pay 20, 30 bucks for a radio, there is a reason for it. And, I'm definitely not going to tell everybody they need a $1,000 Motorola, but there's some better radios on the market, and one of the things to look for is the receiver quality. I'm going to put up a video on the Oregon GMRS site, Facebook page, and YouTube, and Rumble stuff pretty soon, we'll try and cover that the best we can. But I think that's a big problem. There's another problem that could be. Let me break for a minute. What I was talking about earlier has been an issue, and I, you know, it's important everybody kind of double check this. I don't think it's necessarily the problem with your Wosheng, because I think a lot of these radios are coming pre-programmed with the current number structure of the GMRS band, so 1 through 22 under its newest order. But back in the day, when you talked about GMRS channel, it was 1 through 8, and channel 1 was actually what we call 15 now, channel 2, 16, channel 3 was the same as 17. And so if anybody's got that old structure programmed into their Bofengs, that's going to be a problem too. So a couple things to look at. The radio quality, number one, and if you've got the programming correct. So that's my best guess on it. But a good quality radio wouldn't get bleed over from the KF600 on channel 3. It's just not going to happen if the radio is up to it. So I'm going to roll it over to Dale real quick because I've just been hogging the frequency for a second. Sorry about that.
No, not a big deal, Jim. I know you guys are running probably from, what I've heard is the Motorolas. And no, I'm not running Motorolas. I'm running the Oceans and a couple of three or four other different radios within basically different wattage capabilities and programmable. But yeah, I understand what you're saying, but I'm not too sure about everybody in Klamath Falls and what radios they're running, but they're getting the same thing. They're getting the same bleed over and the same interference. So I don't know. Maybe it is the difference between Motorola and an Ocean or any other radio. I'm not. Probably timed out. Sorry.
Okay, it doesn't have to, because Bofeng makes a heterodyne radio, but they're, you know, like the one I'm talking on, is a heterodyne radio, and it's very tight. So it doesn't have the channel problems like it's. A lot of these radios, and I'm sure a lot, they've come out with this new chip that's a direct conversion or a dual conversion, which is, they're just very, they do a good job. Don't get me wrong. I have several. It's just the adjacent channel problem. And you don't have to have a Motorola or a Kenwood. Just if you research and find out if it's a heterodyne type receiver, it will do so much better. But we're going to do a workaround. We're going to get this solved, and it's just the inexpensive radios. It's just and a lot of people buy them because you can get into this. I've had a license for 40 years. And I got out of it, and when I jumped back in, I bought Bofengs because that was cheap, and I said, I'm going to try it again. And, it's just, there's nothing wrong with the transmitter. It is putting out 40 watts, but with the high gain antenna and everything, it's probably ERP around 180 watts. And then you got a base antenna, so it's like touching antennas for you. So there's nothing wrong with the repeater. It's been checked out several times, and I timed out. How about that? All right. Anyway, WRTX 950 on Sutherland.
So it's not possible that maybe the repeater is putting out some spurious emissions? Simple question is all I ask. 731.
No, it's not. We had a Motorola which really failed, and we had serious problems. That repeater has been completely gone through, and I only put it up there 6 months ago. And this has been an issue before, when we had the Motorola up there. And then the Motorola failed. The 1225 failed horribly. It just, the PA fell apart. And just, it was spurring all the way down to 467, or all the way up to 467. It was causing havoc. Now, the repeater is right on frequency, and, you know, it's doing 20 kilohertz. It's slightly under, so to keep it, you know, in case it does, you know, a loud volume or anything.
Dale, I'm going to follow up with you. That's the Kenwood TKR850 commercial repeater that you've got up there now, correct? Was that one of mine, or is that one you bought?
That's the one I got, and it was brand new. Sat on an amateur radio shelf in San Jose for years because it never got used. And, yeah, it's a TKR850. And they're having the same problem out in Cape Junction because they have a 6-0 repeater, and they have the same problem of the other, you know, more, less expensive radios are having a problem with the 12 kilohertz, you know. If I'm on 42600 and I go, you know, I'm transmitting 10 kilohertz each side of the frequency, well, you're only 2.5 kilohertz away. So that's the problem with a lot of these radios. They just can't discern the adjacent channel.
Yep. And like I said a minute ago, I just shot a video of that demonstration here on my bench, and the only radio that couldn't handle it was a Bofang UV5R. So even the inexpensive Motorola FRS radio, fluorescent green, it floats, it, you know, it slices, it dices, it does everything but use a repeater. It handled the difference between 462-600 and 462-6125 perfectly. And then, of course, all the commercial Motorolas that I was demonstrating with handled it perfect as well. So, yeah, it really comes down to the difference between the SBR-style receiver, the direct conversion, or the Super Heterodyne receiver that comes in most higher-end radios. So it is what it is. Back to you, Dale. And there was another station, I think 731, that was also curious. Real quick, Dale, I'll let 731 go.
Okay, well, fair enough. I was curious. I mean, even in reality, even the newest and latest and greatest can develop problems. But you already answered that, saying there was the same problem with another repeater that failed, and this is a new repeater with the same problem with bleed over. So, yeah, I'm inclined to believe that what 602 just explained is a problem. Would it be a solution or to turn the repeater output, transmit output down slightly?
No, that's not really a solution either, because, and I demonstrated it here in the video I made. I'll get that up online soon for everybody. Because at 5 watts from a few feet away, the Bofang still couldn't deal with it. So, you know, you could turn a repeater on a mountaintop down to 2 watts and, you know, get a little gain through the antenna or whatever, and it's not going to make a difference to a radio that can't discriminate between two close frequencies. It just is an inherent problem to an inexpensive radio. And I mean, when I talk about inexpensive, I'm talking about, you know, $20, $30 radios. And sadly, even some of the, you know, couple $100 mobiles that are on the market, they're made in the same factories side by side, and they're using the same technologies. And they're great up until you get to a point where you've got two very close frequencies. Go ahead, Dale.
Yeah, it's always been that problem. I don't know, you know, you could turn down, but even a dead carrier would, you know, no audio would still cause havoc on some radios. So we'll get it figured out. Like I said, we can just drop the link in Klamath Falls for the 5-6 minutes to do a check-in, and then bring it back online. Most of the weeks, it's not an issue because they do their check-ins after the net. So usually the repeater gets very quiet because everybody's doing paperwork or they're, you know, checking in on channel 3. So there's really no activity. But this time there was some activity, and it probably just caused them heck down there in Klamath Falls. By the way, this is WRTX 950.
Hey Dale, thanks for trying to accommodate. I'm gonna, like I said, I'm gonna try and put that video together, and I'm also trying to include an article on Super Heterodyne receivers that I read a while back. It was really helpful to try and understand the technical part of it for anybody that's that interested and wants to dig. But again, you know, the ultimate solution is to improve the radio you're using. If you really like doing this, and you know, you want to put a couple bucks aside slowly, if you can't just rush out there and spend a few hundred dollars on a higher-end radio, you know, we can help, and we can kind of point at things that we think are better and whatnot if anybody needs assistance. But that's the bottom line. That's the answer. You know, really good, cheap radios, they've got a place, but there's one of the limitations. So just is what it is. Thanks, everybody. WRC. Boy, I've got to change this radio. WRCD 602. Thanks, everyone.
Yeah, understandable, Jeff. I can afford whatever radio I actually want to buy. I mean, I don't have a monetary limit on my end, but I understand the capabilities of some of the upper-end radios, and I also understand that you've got a lot of capabilities on the lower-end radios, and I understand there's a lot of people out there that that's what they can afford and that's what they need to do within their budget. That's all fine and dandy. But I don't know, this bleed-over situation, I'm not really sure if it has to do with radio, because there's quite a few people that are saying the same thing on the bleed-over. So it's not a big deal. I mean, we'll deal with it as it goes.
Yeah, John, I do agree. You know, everybody has what's going to be right for them. And Dale pointed out something important. I keep talking about how Bofungs are cheap, but even Bofung makes some better radios. And like Dale said, he's got a little handheld Bofung that I think was under $200. I think it was just at the $100 mark, somewhere in there. And it's got a Super Heterodyne receiver, and it's tight, and it's great. In fact, Dale proved me wrong and the whole truckload of us wrong one day about his Bofung. So there's options. There's a lot of options. Let me break real quick. Another really good option, and again, if you're hunting down radios to buy, that's something to really consider, because you might be able to find a good, affordable radio that has a good receiver. But, like, for example, John, if you want to buy a really good high-end radio without spending too much, Kenwood even has some good options under $400 for a good high-end Kenwood mobile. The NX1800 is a great radio. For a handheld, the NX1300 is a great radio. Both radios under $400.
Copy that. I've looked into them, and it isn't something in comparison. I'm running about 12 radios now, besides my base station, and I've got my antenna system set up exactly where I want it to be at. And, I mean, it's doing me good. And it's running good on the repeater system. I'm not looking at doing a ton of change right now. I mean, I've been thinking about getting back into ham and single sideband and everything else, but I used to be into it. I just haven't done it. And, well, since military. So, agree with you 100%. Some of the radios break.
Hey, John, your microphone's failing.
Yeah, I think I timed out, Dale.
No, your microphone, your audio was dying to the point where I had to hold the speaker and turn it way up to be able to listen to you. It was going in and out and dropped to almost nothing.
And it's still doing the same thing?
No, you're nice and loud now. Hey, I don't know. I don't know if you're talking on a microphone or directly into the radio. I thought you were moving your head around until then I heard it click and it came in real loud and then it clicked again and went down really low.
No, I'm on HT. I'm not mobile. I'm sitting in one place. But anyway, no big deal, you guys. Good information from both of you. I'm definitely listening to it. Take it into consideration. Hey, you guys have a great one. God bless all. And I don't know, we got animals still that's got to be fed. We got a ton of work still to do before we can even hit bed. So you guys have a great one. Good conversation. WSBT 889. We'll be monitoring for a little bit, and then we'll be going clear.
Okay, John, you have a good evening. And, yeah, it's a radio problem. And it's just this Channel 3, and unfortunately, Hogback is a great repeater, and it, you know, covers a lot of area. And to turn down the power would just diminish the repeater, its ability to reach into California and out into the Sprague River and Chiloquin and everything. So, all right, gentlemen, I'm going to go back to my TV watching. You all have a very good evening, and we'll talk later. This is WRTX 950 in Sutherland.
Dale, I agree with you 100%. I'm running all my radios on low power, and, yeah, it is great. I love it what you and Jeff both are doing. Don't get me wrong. I just think we can turn around and clarify, between me and Forrest anyway, we can get this Channel 3 situation squared away a little bit better. You guys have a good night. Hey, God bless WSBT 889. We're monitoring.
Take care, everyone. WRCD 602.
Well, that just goes to show you that local communications has its own set of rules. Good information. Thanks, all. WRQH 731.